The very first thing I learned in my first wildlife management class in college was that individuals don't matter. Conservationists must look at animals within populations and communities to help them. Focusing on individuals would lead to what wildlife managers called the Bambi complex. To this day, many wildlife biologists are still decrying the Bambi complex. Precisely during the BP oil spill disaster, some birders joined them in ridiculing the value of wildlife rehab, talking about all the resources used to save just a handful of creatures when that money and expertise could have been better used in restoring damaged habitat. Ironically, a huge chunk of the money used for wildlife rehabilitation comes from donations from individual people, money that would not necessarily have ever gone to habitat protection. Why do these people donate to rehabbers? It's virtually always inspired because of the story of one particular individual animal. And by taking an interest in that individual, a generous donor also becomes receptive to information about what that animal will need when released to the wild, and quite possibly start wanting to protect habitat for it. We simply don't feel emotionally tied to populations of people or of animals. To paraphrase Joseph Stalin's words, when one man dies, it's a tragedy. When millions die, it's a statistic. For over a decade, one individual bird has captured the imaginations of millions of people, bringing awareness of the difficulties her entire species faces and garnering support for important projects to keep her whole population thriving. Wisdom, the Laysan albatross. In 2002, when my ornithological hero, Chandler Robbins, was on Midway Island in the Pacific Ocean, he started musing about the banded Laysan albatrosses nesting there and how old they might be. So he recaptured some to check back on their band numbers, and one turned out to be a female that he himself had banded back in 1956. As a nesting adult when he captured her that first time, the youngest she could possibly have been was 5 years old. That means that the very latest Wisdom could have been hatched would have been the beginning of 1951, the year I was born. And so she was at least 51 in 2002, making her older than what scientists had estimated the maximum age albatrosses could be, 30 to 40 years. Because of that advanced age, she was nicknamed Wisdom. She made national news in 2011 when she was a minimum of 60 years old, which is, I think, when I found out about her and first talked about her on For the Birds. This was well after my own menopause, and I can't say how much I loved knowing that there was at least one lovely wild bird out there who was not just thriving, but still successfully raising young when she was older than me. Wisdom returns to Midway every year to the same nest site. I usually see the news about her arrival in November, but not this year. And by Thanksgiving, I was feeling uneasy as I checked the Midway Atoll website every day. 2020 has been a uniquely terrible year, and as December started without a word, I was growing resigned. But the lack of reports must have been due to procedural changes for the human staff on Midway, not the albatrosses, who have no clue about COVID-19 and were conducting business as usual, only without the usual press releases. Finally, on December 3rd, the U.S. Fish and Wildlife Service got the word out that Wisdom and her mate had both returned to Midway. She was observed on her nest on November 29th, and wonder of wonders, she has produced another egg. If you see me walking with an extra spring in my step in the coming days, you'll know why. Wisdom is just a bird, and just an individual bird. But her making it through another year out on the open ocean and returning to breed reminds me that exceeding expectations and probabilities is a possibility. I'm Laura Erickson, speaking for the birds.